Welcome. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. For all of you hoping to see me in Phoenix, Arizona this weekend, I have canceled that engagement and I will not be there. Once again, I will not be in Phoenix, Arizona this weekend. And I believe I mentioned that a couple of nights ago. And the reason, mainly, is because I was sent something by the promoters and asked to sign it, which I can't do that. They did that to me at Preparedness Expo, and I don't speak at Preparedness Expo anymore either. Also, folks, I'll be leaving this weekend to meet with all of you, in Washington, D.C., on September the 29th at 9 a.m., on the Capitol steps. Make sure you're there. Remember, folks, this is going to tell the tale for a lot of people. It's going to tell us how strong we are, and it's also going to tell our enemies how strong we are. And if we're not very strong, it could escalate the formation of their New World Order.
I think it's time we stop this running around. This world is going too fast and we'd like to slow it down. Don't let them talk you into doing what you don't want to. Just learn to say no and learn how to refuse. 'Cause you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going smooth. The one person that you should never try to fool is you. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, 'cause I practice what I preach. Maybe you don't do all the things you're supposed to. Your boss gives you a job you hate, but you smile, that's the rule. You see yourself playing the game and it's rubbing you wrong. Oh, you don't know how much more you'll take, how long can it go on? Well, you don't know nobody, nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going. One person that you should never try to fool is you. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, I practice what I preach. No, I am not just talking, 'cause I practice what I preach.
Oh, yes, folks. I do practice what I preach. Tonight, the Trojan horse is riding across the land and disseminating disinformation just as fast as he can pump it out. I'm going to read you 2.5 pages from the Center for Action monthly newsletter. Many of you who have been listening to this show for a long, long time will recognize the inaccuracies, the outright deception and the lies in these 2.5 pages. Those who have not been listening to this show may not. Those of you who have the Linda Thompson Waco tape, whether or not you've ever listened to this show, will recognize blatant lies and slanders, attacks against the character of Linda Thompson. You'll also recognize a general theme here. And the general theme is you don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay any attention to anything or anybody. Bo Grites will save you. I'm sorry, Bobo Grits. For those of you who don't understand why we do that, you see, we've learned through his deceptions and his blatant lies to patriots and to religious groups throughout this country, claiming to be a Christian when he is not, telling born-again Christians that he's a born-again Christian and identity Christians that he's an identity Christian, telling New Age audiences that he's tried them all and hasn't found a religion that suits him yet. In reality, he is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, which in no way, shape, or form, ladies and gentlemen, can be considered to be Christian. They, in fact, believe that Lucifer is the brother of Jesus, which is about as far away from Christian as you can ever get. Not only that, but they believe the old mystery religion deception that man himself can ascend to the position of apotheosis and himself become God. And that a man and woman, if sealed in marriage in the temple, and if they obey all the laws and rules of the church, mind you, not Jesus or God, that they, when they die, will be given their own planet so that they can live in marital heavenly intercourse forever and populate their own planet with souls. I've never understood why anybody could go for that, but I believe in the Constitution. You all know that. And these people have a right to worship whatever they want. But they do not have a right to deceive the rest of us. And that goes for Bobo, too. And many, many other things, which you're going to find out some of those tonight. We call him Bobo because he is, if he thinks we're so stupid that we won't catch on to who and what he actually is. And we call him Grits, folks, because when all of you out there finally get over your mesmerism and realize what he's doing and how he has lied to you, you're going to have him for breakfast. And where I come from, that's Grits. Now let me read this deception to you here. It says, don't be stampeded by a herd of rabbits. 3 years ago, this October in Phoenix, I heard from numerous sources that a large armored force of North Koreans was poised in northern Mexico to attack Arizona. This report apparently came from an LDS church official. Patriots were flapping around like chickens with a fox in the hen house. The Blitzkrieg was scheduled for May of 1991. Simonette from Kerrville, Texas, had heard the same thing along the southwest Texas border with Mexico. And to tell you the truth, folks, I got those reports also. But we here at CAGI do not act upon anything and do not disseminate information unless we have it from many different reliable sources and can actually collect proof. So you never heard that from us. And you never will hear any of these terrible rumors from us. His reports were supposedly coming from a sheriff. I assured the concerned citizens that I would come to Arizona and hold their hands if a single Oriental tank driver crossed the state line. The dreaded day came and went without incident. It reminded me of the day when a large religious group sold all they had, wrapped themselves in sheets, and stood on a mountaintop in Tucson, convinced they would momentarily be beamed up. Special offer this month is Colonel H. Speed Wilson's book, Rapture, Prophecy or Heresy. See the order form. Throughout the 92 campaign, I was told about boxcar loads of guillotines being brought into the United States. Some sources claim to have actually known people who looked in and saw the ghastly chains, stocks, and blades. And I, too, heard these stories and discredited them because we could find no proof. Unfortunately, each time I sought to confirm the reports, the elusive eyewitness could not be found. Now, here's the first deception, folks. They include reference to me in the same paragraph with this disinformation as if I was the source. And, of course, I was not. But it doesn't make any difference. There are probably 2 or 3 million sheeple out there who will believe all of this nonsense without checking, without batting an eye. He goes on, it didn't surprise me to learn that I'm supposed to be a 32nd degree Mason. The reporter, Bill Cooper, said that he had an audio tape of my admission to being a high-ranking Mason. I was also branded a Trojan horse agent. One reporter even said that I always stood with my heels together at a 90-degree angle, the square, which proved I was a Mason. It was said that I communicated a secret Masonic token with every handshake. For a couple of years, folks, he did. And we have reports from many, many people around the country who understand the Masonic handshake. And he goes on to try to cover for it here, something about a broken index finger. But the truth is, when he shook hands, he dug his thumbnail into the third knuckle of the right hand of the person shaking his hand, which indicates that he is a Master Mason. The truth also is that at Freedom Call 90, as I sat in the audience, when Bobo Gritz introduced himself to the audience and gave his background and his community achievements, one of the things he said, and I quote verbatim, I heard it with my own ears, quote, I am a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, unquote. And then he went to talk about his involvement with the Boy Scouts and other things. I was amazed as I looked around at all the patriots sitting in that room who appeared not to have understood what he just said. Later, when we had a chance to talk to each other in the breaks and at lunch, I was able to discern that many patriots did indeed understand what he had said. And there were approximately, oh, I would say 500 or 600 people in that room, ladies and gentlemen, who all heard it. He goes on to say, the fact is, I am not, nor have I ever been a Mason of any degree, and I have never told anyone that I was. I did break my right index finger while rocketeering off a sand dune in a fast attack vehicle we were demonstrating for use in the empty quarter of Arabia. We impacted nose first so hard that my hands were torn from the steering wheel despite the four-point off-road harness. S and I got out. Staggered around a bit. The bezel on my GMT watch popped off in a triple flip that had us both laughing. Not wanting to fiddle with the dispensary, I never bothered to have the finger fixed. Now, folks, anybody who knows anything about a Masonic handshake knows that it has nothing to do with an index finger. And so does Bobo. Ever since then, 1985, it is uncomfortable to grip that finger joint, and I oftentimes keep my right index extended while shaking hands. And in parentheses, he says, secret Masonic token. In truth, William Cooper is mad because I refer to his book, Behold a Pale Horse, as Behold a Pail of Horse Hockey. I openly challenged his claim to be a naval intelligence officer, which he never was, and his lifting of top-secret special intelligence files, which show everything from who runs the world to who killed JFK, all about outer space aliens, government dope, and anything else that hits the news. Notice how he did this, folks? I have never claimed to be a naval intelligence officer, never was, and have never said it in my entire life. I was a petty officer attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, Naval Security and Intelligence to be exact, and ONI, and at times NIS. All of you who have been in the Navy know what those terms mean. I was attached to the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet, and have included proof of that in the appendix of my book, Behold a Pale Horse. In fact, the pertinent pages of my service record are included there, and you may take them and check with the Navy to see if they are true and correct. You have my permission to do that. He also says here, lifting of top secret special intelligence files. I've never claimed that I did that either. Everything that I saw in the performance of my duties. And I've never said otherwise. And to my knowledge, neither has anyone else. He says Cooper is a fraud, and he knows it. When challenged about documents, they conveniently burned in a garage fire the day before being unveiled for the world to see. That's not true either. It's all on tape. The only document that I ever copied and kept for myself was burned in a garage fire years before I ever came out and even began to talk about anything. He goes on to say, my Trojan horse connection is genuine, and that's about the only piece of truth that he says in here. The horse is an original Special Forces emblem and was the crest of the 10th Special Forces Group for decades. Now I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, why would a United States Special Forces group have as its emblem a Trojan horse? We all know what the Trojan horse means. Does this man think that we're so foolish that we don't understand the meaning of that? He goes on to say, Cooper got so angry, he made a telephone answer tape during the 92 campaign that said Jesus Christ wouldn't claim anyone who supported Bogreitz, and that is a blatant lie. I have never had any answering tape on my machine that said anything even remotely resembling anything like that. And I would never, never, never deign to speak for Jesus Christ, or anyone else, for that matter. He says, Cooper's capers are typical of those who live and prey off the patriot movement for profit. They seek to sensationalize the least fragment of rumor and rush about like Henny Penny shouting, the sky is falling. Cooper is one of the worst, but too bad he isn't alone. And now if you've listened to this show, if you've read my book, you know that I don't grab fragments of rumor, and I don't rush about like Henny Penny shouting, the sky is falling. Everything that I do is well researched and well documented. I make mistakes sometimes, so do everyone else. Late in 1992, an outfit calling itself Cosmos Service, claiming to have a world panacea. They were going to pay off the national debt, run the Fed out on a rail, and do a lot of other pie-in-the-sky shenanigans. Cosmos even said after the election that Clinton wouldn't take office. They said a military coup would restore constitutional government. They said the banks were all closing, and numerous other predictions which never hatched. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who were listening to this program knew the truth of all that, for I was the first and only one who publicly revealed the truth about Cosmos. And I said, for all of you that were anticipating an imminent collapse of the banks in December of last year, I stated on this radio on December the 6th that that would not occur. And those who listened to me saved themselves a lot of money and a lot of heartache. They were right about one thing, he says. Bogreitz would not even give us the time of day. Friends, my best friend and grandma taught me at a very young age to tell the difference between SH blank blank and Shinola. It would have been an insult and disgrace to her, my high school diploma, you and the fact that I have led men in combat, to think that a presidential candidate would fall for those road apples. Yet a group of so-called patriots, including Dare Shout, Arizona, D.V. Kidd, Colorado, and Jackie Patru, Illinois, became so upset over my cold shoulder to Cosmos that they broke away from America First to join these world-class prevaricators. And folks, that's not true. That is not why D.V. Kidd broke away from the Greitz organization. I can't speak from the others, but I do know D.V. Kidd. And you can check with her. Now DV plans a nationwide, listen to this, now DV plans a nationwide rally in Washington, D.C. this month to oppose the Fed. I am certainly for getting rid of the Fed, but I won't contribute to a person who has demonstrated such poor judgment in the recent past. Tom Donahue wanted me to have her on my radio show, On the Scene. I allowed for the occasion on a Friday when I was out of pocket, and Tom hosted the show. We don't need any more cracks within the Liberty Bell, but poor leaders often stand behind the mask of a good cause, and that's his excuse why he will not support the March on Washington on September the 29th. The real reason, folks, is he doesn't want anybody to go to Washington on September the 29th. And he continues, when Jack McLam, Jerry Gillespie, and I went to Northern Idaho in support of the Weaver family, We were told that 30,000 blue-helmeted UN Cambodian troops were in Montana to oppose any Patriot response to the Weavers. That's one I never heard, folks. I sent Jerry to run down the Cambode rumor while Jack and I worked to free Weaver, Harris, and the girls. Jerry actually found them. Well, almost. He did find a bunch of Oriental men and women picking mushrooms in the burned forest areas of Montana. It seems they, the mushrooms, sprang up in the wake of such fires. The army of pickers represented every major Oriental grocery supply chain, the U.S. From San Francisco's Chinatown to New York. None of them was even wearing a blue bonnet, let alone a beret or helmet. About a month later in Oregon, we spotted a van at our motel with a sign on its side which read, Mushroom Buyer. Now, this is the same thing that he used to attempt to debunk Linda Thompson when she said that they had located, indeed, three Army personnel from the country of Nepal, and Greitz trumped those three Army personnel from Nepal up into 50,000 communist Chinese in an attempt to get people to stop listening to Linda Thompson. Now listen to this. What about Mark from Michigan with his reports about multi-jurisdictional task forces and black helicopters, more of what Cooper is made of? It is easier for these wannabes to make up and fan rumor than it is to work a regular job. Folks, there is no rumor about the black helicopters. It is true, as you heard from many, many witnesses who called in on this show, and from many, many documented reports and photographs from around the country, and I just got a whole envelope of photographs of black helicopters from many different people today. And what about this multi-jurisdictional task force? Well, if you'll look up Public Law 100-690, you'll find it right in there. Mark speaks as if he does have some MI or military intelligence experience. His word pattern indicates someone who once wore a uniform or at least looked at a lot of SOF magazines. Mark says in his public presentations that he can't reveal his last name for fear of government reprisal. Most Patriots folks know his last name. I know his last name. Linda Thompson knows his last name. Anybody that wants to know his last name knows it. How come Bobo Grits doesn't know Mark's last name? How deep does it get, he says. He says that he is the commander of Op 4 Brigade. It is possible that he is in the military and they are using him to see how gullible the Patriot movement really is. No one with an IQ more than their shoe size would really buy this bull. The truth is, folks, no one with an IQ more than their shoe size would buy this newsletter. Some facts. The military has a lot of aircraft. Listen to this. Listen to how he scams the sheeple into complacency. Some facts. The military has a lot of aircraft painted in dark colors, not to menace Americans, he says, but because it is a natural color scheme for military operations, either in combat or practicing for combat. Regardless of what Mark says, the birds are marked. Pilots don't own their own aircraft. Each day, the sorties are assigned, and crews may or may not fly the same plane. Even air crews need to be able to locate the assigned flying machine from a ramp full of lookalikes. The FAA only requires a 3-inch ID. Combined with a dark background, the aircraft can appear unmarked, and that is true, folks, with normal Army helicopters and Army aircraft. That's exactly what they do. These black helicopters and black aircraft, however, upon close inspection, show no markings whatsoever. They also have tinted windows and windshields on them that apparently can change darkness, sort of like the photosensitive glasses that some people wear. Why that is, I don't know. He says, more recently, I spent time with Linda Thompson, an Indiana attorney who narrates the video. That's a lie, folks. The narration on the Waco video is not Linda Thompson, Bobo. He says, Waco, the big lie. Linda is very articulate and aggressive. She gives a super interesting brief on what happened at Waco. If you turn her voice off, Bobo, it's not her voice. Do you hear me? Are you listening out there? It's not her voice on the tape. It's a professional narrator. Linda spent thousands of dollars to have that tape professionally done. And if you've ever talked to her in real life, for 5 minutes, you know that's not her voice. So your contention that you had a long discussion with her and know her is also not true, if you could not recognize that that was not her voice on that tape. If you turn her voice off, the video footage is the best I've seen come out of the Waco debacle. Clint Eastwood once said, quote, "A man has got to know his limitations," unquote. I think that applies as much to Linda as it does to me or Bill Cooper. After talking about Waco, Linda expanded her presentation to include 80,000 UN Chinese troops in Montana, black helicopters, secret prison camps, and UN armored vehicles in Oregon, and that is a blatant lie. I read you the transcript on this program. Linda Thompson has told you what she really said. There was a whole audience of people there who heard what she really said. And this is a blatant lie, because Bobo was there too. And he also heard what she really said. And she said, nothing, nothing, and he's upped it from 50,000 to 80,000. She said nothing about 80,000 UN Chinese troops in Montana. Secret prison camps or UN armored vehicles in Oregon. She did talk about black helicopters, and she did make the statement that they had located 3 foreign troops from the country of Nepal. And this is what Mr. Trojan Horse has blown it up into. There are many of you out there were in that audience, and you know that this is true. He says she became piqued when I challenged her information and informed me that she has a military background, high school ROTC. That's another blatant, blatant, despicable, intentional lie. Linda Thompson was in the United States Army and served with NATO. Served with NATO. If you don't believe that, call her a writer. She'll send you the documentation. I've already checked. He says, I think what Linda is doing to divert patriot attention is wrong. I salute her for doing a great job of piecing together video not commonly viewed on the Branch Davidian raid, but the other references serve only to wrongly spook the people who might believe in her because of the Waco tape. In the tape, she says that a BATF agent on the roof shoots through a window into a room occupied by 3 fellow agents who end up dead. Shortly after the officers enter the room window from the roof, and the agent peers in, the outside wall is pierced by fairly large caliber bullets. He says 30 caliber being fired from the inside. Folks, I fought in a wall too. And unless you're able to go up there and examine the holes in that plywood very closely, there's no way that you could tell that it's 30 caliber bullets, or any other caliber for that matter. You see, the wood tends to splinter and shatter, and from the outside, the hole looks bigger than what it actually is. He says the bullets come in such a rapid sequence to leave little doubt that they are fired from an assault-type weapon firing semi-automatically. Notice he said semi-automatically. That does not mean that it's an assault-type weapon. I have a deer rifle that fires semi-automatically, also a .22. And I'm pretty good with my Winchester 44 Magnum and can pump those rounds in pretty quick. Quick enough to make you think that it's semi-automatic. On the tape, Linda says that the outside agent throws a hand grenade inside the window and then fires a burst from his submachine gun into the room. Without her voice in my ear, again, Bobo, it's not her voice. He says, my eyes watch the man go over to the window and try to see within. I see him use the muzzle of his weapon to move the curtain aside, but I don't see any smoke from his receiver, nor is there any recoil evident, and not a single expended round is observed coming from the gun's ejection port. Now, I have to admit, folks, I couldn't see an ejected round coming from the gun's ejection port either. But if you look at the video, it may not be possible to see it, even if it was happening. He goes on to say, Linda also shows a tank backing out of a hole that has been punched through the structure wall. She says that fire can be seen coming from the main gun muzzle. Certain enough, as she shows the scene repeatedly, there is something bright at the gun tip, and her voice says fire. Again, Bobo, it's not her voice. The problem is that I'm very much familiar with the flame capabilities of our armored vehicles, having maybe even more of a military background than Linda. I don't know of a mixture that does not produce lots of smoke and fugas, or jellied gasoline, that has a tendency to drip from the gun mouth after being projected through the barrel. And if you look closely, folks, you can see exactly that happening. You can see it dripping from the barrel, and you can see the flame shooting out. He says a clearer copy of the video shows the flame to be a piece of insulation hooked to the ram, and that, again, is not true. I have never seen a clearer copy of this video, and Linda has the master. And she made me a master on 3/4 inch and sent it to me directly from her master. So next to her, I have the clearest video that there is. He says, it shows the flame to be a piece of insulation hooked to the ram. No questions the feds did wrong and started the fire, but not the way Linda would have you believe to sell her videos. Folks, Linda didn't make that video to sell it. In fact, she's given away more copies than you could even imagine. And she spent thousands to have it edited and produced, and she has never made that money back. He says both Cooper and Thompson have teamed up to slander me. They say that I am a CIA agent collecting patriot names. I have never mentioned Greitz or Grits. So let me finish this. Both Cooper and Thompson have teamed up to slander me. They say that I am a CIA agent collecting patriot names. I say before God, angels, and you witnesses that they are liars. I have fought hard to free our POWs. I would not cover up government drug operations. I broke the police line to save the Weaver family and secured Gary Spence for them. He didn't break the police lines to save the Weaver family. He was called from Phoenix by the FBI to come up there and was, in fact, doing the bidding of the FBI. And we have him on tape saying that, ladies and gentlemen. Also at Freedom Call 90 in July of 1990, he read a letter from Randy Weaver asking for his help. Randy Weaver said in that letter that he was afraid that the feds were going to kill him and his whole family. Now, if he was interested in saving Randy Weaver, why did it take him 3 years, or 2 years, 2.5 years, actually, to get there? Can anybody answer that? He also read that same letter on many radio shows during 1990. Where am I here? Here we go. He says he ran for president to bear witness of the divinity of the Constitution. Well, that's funny. If you cared about the divinity of the Constitution, why, in the election before last, were you running with David Duke, who doesn't know anything about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, was the head of the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan. An organization responsible for many illegal acts, which takes away rights and freedoms from people and has murdered people. Why were you his vice presidential running mate if you care so much for the Constitution? He goes on to say, Christ has said in Matthew 7:16-20, ye shall know them by their fruits. And Bobo Grits, nothing could be closer to the truth. He says, none of these quests have netted me more than criticism and defamation by the controlled media. What have either Cooper or his confederate Thompson done? Folks, you can answer that. I don't even have to tell you. Other than ride on the shoulders of those who have braved adversity. Those of you who know me know that I've never ridden on the shoulders of anyone, period. He goes on to say, Thompson and Cooper seem to be just two more patriots for profit that leap aboard any convenient issue that will give them a free ride to the next watering hole. Like parasites, they nibble off the fruit produced by others. Through Spike, we seek to prepare and equip you at a fraction of the cost covered by commercial vendors. Cooper and Thompson only seek to sell you their wares in lieu of any real service. You are certainly free to choose who you would have for a family in time of crisis. That's true, folks. You are. And I would advise you to choose very carefully. He goes on to say, I'm reminded of Lars Hansen's short 1980... Listen to this carefully, folks, because I'm going to play you some tapes in a few minutes. He says, I am reminded of Lars Hansen's short 1989 JFK clip that Cooper sold for $30 a copy, another lie, when Lars brought it to me and wanted me to take it to H. Ross Perot for funding into a major project. He says he balked. There was Lars's voice on the many-time-copied Poor Generation video which he had secured from JFK expert Robert Groden, another lie, In fact, Lars Hansen stole it from a researcher in Santa Barbara, California, and tried to sell it to foreign journalists. He ended up giving a copy to John Lear, who gave me a copy. Later, Lars Hansen came to help us as a volunteer in my November the 5th Hollywood High School presentation in Hollywood, California. He was actually on my staff as a volunteer. He gave us the copy that we used in the presentation there, and Lars Hansen was one of the video cameramen. He admits that in his screwed up thing that he wrote called the affidavit, and that one admission negates everything else that he wrote. He goes on to say Lars had enlarged the part where Kennedy's head explodes, slowed the action down, and played it over and over while he narrated what he wanted the viewer to see. It was convincing. Lars points out that the limo driver, William Greer, turns and with a chrome 45 automatic held in his left hand, looks back and kills the president. It happens time and time again. The only thing missing is logic, common sense, and my, meaning his, experience factor. The day Kennedy was killed, I was a special forces captain in the unconventional warfare department at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, teaching assassinations and guerrilla warfare. And by the way, folks, Greitz has confessed to assassinating at least 3 people, and you wanted to make him president. Teaching assassinations and guerrilla warfare. No question Oswald was a dupe. The real shooters, I believe, were part of a CIA team put together outside of Mexico City to kill Castro. Don't look for the CIA documents released on 24 August to indict the agency. It just didn't make sense to have the driver shoot the president when he would have to maintain control over the vehicle. He did, initially, slow down instead of speed up, as he was trained to do. I told Lars it just didn't work, but yet there was this bright object in Kennedy's head coming apart. Lars dutifully went back to Grodin and learned the truth. The bright spot is actually a reflection off of Roy Kellerman's hair as he raises up from the right front car seat just as JFK is hit from the right front by a bullet. Those of you who have seen the real Zapruder film, and you can get it from us folks, knows that it is not a reflection on Roy Kellerman's head or hair, and most of it is not even on his head, but quite a bit above it. And if you want to know what it really is, get the video and look at it. I wouldn't deign to tell you what it is. A closer to the original generation video clearly shows the sun reflect off Kellerman's head. The problem is that Bill Cooper had told everyone that he read in his stolen secret documents that Greer killed the president. He was selling the tape and making a living off speaking on the subject. For Cooper, it was easy. He would just keep on telling people it was the driver and using the old blurred tape. That, again, folks, is a complete and total lie. He goes on to say, Bob Grodin even gave me clear stills of the frames that unmistakably show Kellerman's hair as the bright spot. Cooper only became outraged and tried to protect his profitable position. Linda's tape may be the same. I am convinced that the FBI started the fire after pumping in volumes of CS gas. It sounds exactly like what they had planned for Weaver and his children. The CS gas dispersant is a perfect dust initiator for fire and explosion. I'm not convinced that the BATF agent killed his own from the roof and that the light coming from the armored vehicle is actually residual fire from a flamethrower. I see no threat from black helicopters. I have not been able to confirm a single secret prison camp, even though people say they know the exact location, and I am willing to fly over the areas with cameras. It is my opinion that converted military bases will serve as prisons, and that is about the only thing that I agree with Bobo Gritz on in that entire document. Now listen very closely, ladies and gentlemen, and you will hear the truth.
Okay, back with my guest Bill Cooper, who is calling in from Fullerton, right? That's where you're from, right? Fullerton?
Right,
and Bo Gritz in studio, and let's go to North Hollywood, California, and talk with Justin.
I guess his name, is that your name, Justin?
No, it's Chris.
Chris, okay, I'm sorry. And Chris, what's your question tonight?
Listening the other night, I asked, I heard an answer to a question about why this film isn't being available.
What do you mean?
Being made available. I don't know if I understood the answer.
I don't remember the question. Maybe Bill, why isn't the film being made available? Are you referring to the film about the Kennedy assassination?
Yes.
Okay. Why isn't that film being made available, Bill?
Well,
Billy, the only copy that I have, when I have attempted to make copies for other people just to give to them, the copies, I guess the one that I have is like a third or fourth generation.
Right.
When I try to make a copy, it comes out much poorer than the one that I have, and it's, some of the features then become indistinguishable.
Right.
Also, there's a question of copyright, and I'm not sure exactly who owns copyright or what. I think that the film is of such national interest to the American people that I don't think that that should have anything to do with it, but unfortunately it does.
And why does it if you don't think it has?
I don't know if we can without getting ourselves thrown in jail.
Well, you don't know who the copyright is.
Now, let me help you guys out a little bit. I'm a substitute school teacher here in Las Vegas, and last year at the Kennedy assassination anniversary, for 1 week, I taught a class in one of the better high schools here, an honors government class, about 200 students, on who killed JFK, and I showed them documentation for the first 4 days. Then I, on Friday, had them each write me a paper, about 200 students, on who they thought killed JFK, and then I showed them the film. I have the film. I know the man that made it, and if you want it, you can call me at 1-800-634-3494, and send me $10, because that's probably what it'll cost me to copy it. And you got it, babes.
Okay.
It does show the driver turning. Now, it does show him shooting. It shows Kennedy's head being snapped back. I'm an expert. I've been a Green Beret commander for 30 years. I've worked within the intelligence community. I think it's public record.
Who's speaking?
It's Bo Grace.
Mr. Grace.
Yeah.
Mr. Cooper, is this the film that was shown at the lake last week?
Yes.
A couple weeks ago?
I can answer that question. Yes, it's the very same film. Yes.
All right. Now, if I contact you, you'll make that film third or fourth generation, whatever.
Yeah, you got to contact Bo. You can contact Mr. Cooper if you want, but if you want to contact me, we've got a thing called a Center for Action. We're tired of talking. We're going to start doing. And I've given you a 1-800 number. You can write me. I'll give you my address, and you'll get a copy.
How's that sound, Mike? I mean, Chris?
Yes.
How's that sound?
Well, that sounds good. I have one more question.
Did you get the toll-free number?
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
The question is, there was some discussion about the UFOs at the lake also.
All right. What about it?
Would you give...
And, folks, there you have part of the truth of that, and just so that you understand all of the truth of it, listen to this. And I've got a little problem here. Okay. Here we go, right now.
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, I just want to talk a couple of seconds about the Zapruder tape.
Okay, go.
Yeah. I noticed, I may be wrong, but the passenger, you know, the other Secret Service man, Kellerman, on the passenger side, seems to be looking at the rear view, at the small rear view mirror, just as Kennedy gets the next shot. Up until the headshot, and he doesn't even budge. He's looking right at the mirror, at the rear view mirror, and I find that, you know, interesting.
we've got several films that we have studied very closely, and the passenger is definitely watching in the rear view mirror on the passenger side. After the throat shot, you can see him turn around, look at Kennedy, then he passes something to the driver, leans forward, he takes the wheel with his hand, the car comes almost to a stop, William Greer turns around, shoots Kennedy in the head over his right shoulder, turns around, both men hunch down, and the car speeds away.
Wow.
Here. I want to ask the gentleman, Bo, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to send away for that tape. It's $10, correct?
Well, yes, I've got the tape, and I know that it's probably going to cost me $10 to make it and send it to you. You send me 10, and you got it.
How long is that tape? Approximately.
It's the Zapruder tape, and Bill has already mentioned. What you see normally on television is a normally run tape that cuts off before you actually focus. And what we did with the Zapruder tape is that we blew it up, we slowed it down, and we played it completely through multiple times so that when you see the driver, just as Bill has said, not with his right hand, which had been extended so everyone could have seen it. This is what I do best. I'm trained in this. An assassin doesn't do that. The assassin took his left hand, turned so that he completely guarded and blocked it with his whole body, and blew Kennedy's head off literally. And as you know,
look at what Jacqueline is doing. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline, I've been in combat in Vietnam for 5 years, in Central America, in Africa, in Asia, all over the place, and I know this. You don't run toward the firing. You run away from the firing, and Jacqueline Kennedy was trying to get her fanny out of that car and away from what happened to her husband.
Of course, all the bystanders on the street were focused on Kennedy, not the Secret Service men in the car, correct?
And that's exactly what happens with the Zapruder tape. When you see it on television, everybody's watching the president,
right?
And then they cut the thing off before you can actually see the driver turn and fire. And then the car, and what would you do? If you were going to shoot someone, you would naturally take your foot off the accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
And what better person to have as an assassin? You wouldn't have the shotgun man who's sitting there that everyone would see. No one would suspect the driver. He turns, he does his job, and then, of course, he puts his foot back in the foot.
Who are all these supposedly shooters from the grassy knoll, not to mention elsewhere?
Well, I
hope
that all of you understand what you just heard. You see, Bobo Gritz changes his religion, his loyalties, and his story just as often as the change in the weather. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I, for one, certainly do not stand for this kind of thing. Didn't, won't, never will. That's just the way it is. Now, did I sell the tape? I was reluctant. I didn't want to violate anyone's copyright. The film was extremely poor and very difficult to see, as those who got copies of it found out. But when I came under tremendous public pressure because Greitz was already selling the tape, I bowed to the demand of the people who wanted to see what happened in Dallas, and I sold the tape for the same price. Until we found out that we couldn't even make the tapes at that price at a professional duplicating facility. So we raised the price to $16, which included postage and handling, and we sold maybe 120 of those tapes, and we did not make any money off of those transactions. Later, I made a documentary on the Kennedy assassination, which was approximately 45 or 50 minutes in length. And that documentary cost $30 per copy. It was my creation. And it used film clips from many, many different films of the assassination in Dallas, Texas, all of which we had permission to use. Those of you who have seen our new tape, The Sacrificed King, on the Kennedy assassination, now know that the only good copy that you can get your hands on anywhere in the world comes from us. It includes all the uncut footage, the footage that you never see anywhere else. It is a first-generation copy on 35mm off the original 8mm film. And we only go down two generations, one to a master, and then from the master to the duplicate, which goes out to you. It's in brilliant, beautiful color. And you can see everything in there. And we even snap it frame by frame for you so that you can see it as no one else has ever seen it. And I'm not going to tell you what the film shows if you want to find out, because if I tell you, you won't believe it anyway. Get the film and look at it for yourself. Stop looking for knights on white horses in shining armor to come and save you. Understand the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution and understand that the same team controls both sides. There are no patriot organizations. And you people out there had better get it together. And you had better stop being stupid, or everything you've ever worked for, everything you've ever loved, and everything that everyone has ever fought and died for in this country is going to be pulled right out from under you. And truthfully, you will deserve it. You will deserve it. Unless you change your ways now. You don't need someone else to tell you the truth. And by the way, get one of the latest copies of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And I mean the actual member list from the Council on Foreign Relations. On there you'll see one of the prominent backers of Bobo Gritz, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and wrote a book called The Plan, which would substitute our constitutional government with a scientific government perfected by trial and error experiment, as they do in the laboratory. And wake up. Wake up, because I'm tired of pulling your wagon, folks. I need some relief. You know what I mean? There's got to be another horse out there somewhere that can pull this wagon with me. There's got to be somebody out there who can think besides me and Linda Thompson and Mark from Michigan and a few other good people, DZ Kidd, for example. I'm tired of fighting the battle for you people. I'll continue to fight it till I'm dead. But you need to be out here with me. With me. Understanding that we must lead ourselves and we must learn to look for the truth for ourselves. Not from anybody else. That's the only way we're going to survive, and we'd better grow up fast. Mature. Now, folks, this man changes his tune so much, that I want you to go through all your tapes out there, and if you have any copies of any speeches, video or audio, or any workshops, or any lectures that Bobo Gritz has ever done, I want you to send it to me. We will make a copy, and we will send you your original tape right back to you. And we are going to put together a tape in his own words that will convince any skeptic in this country of who and what Bo Gritz is and what he's doing. Now, help us in this effort. Look through all your tapes. Get them together. You see, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to hear it in his own words from his own mouth. And I'll tell you this. Anybody that sends me an audio tape or a video tape where I can hear clearly, in a clearly recognizable Bo Gritz voice, that he is a Freemason, or a Mason, or a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, you've just earned yourself $500. Do I make myself clear, ladies and gentlemen? You see, I'm willing to put everything on the line to save this country. And I'm not doing this to hurt Bo Gritz or his family. I'm doing this to save your miserable asses. And you're going to have some dead air time, because I'm pissed off, and I deserve to be. I deserve to be. Good night.
disappeared forever. She just had a time. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old black Joe still picking cotton for seven and four. Everybody knows you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you have to meet without your clothes. And everybody